Barely spring, yet the unseasonable Florida humidity made me feel like I'd disembarked from my flight into a Rottweiler's mouth. For the 100th time since arriving, I berated myself for choosing the Everglades as a vacation destination. My hair was giving me a big thumbs down. I had no way of knowing at that point that lank locks would turn out to be the least of my worries, that my vacation would quickly descend to a dark and grisly place. But not yet. My first hour in the Glades, I was just hot and bothered. The Daniel Beard Research Center had been a missile site during the Cold War and looked like it, despite now being painted a garish flamingo pink. The color really made the National Park Service logo pop. Pushing through the door, I applauded the overzealous air conditioning. My sweat-slicked skin instantly goosebumped up, but my limp ponytail was too far gone to rally. I crossed the public area and headed toward the business side of the building. A woman behind a scarred wooden desk tracked my approach. Beige hair, beige skin, coral mouth. A stern expression said she took her gatekeeping duties seriously. Really? The South Florida Natural Resources Center needed protecting? Dr. Tempe Brennan. Cheerful as I could muster. I'm here to see Dr. Robin.
I don't have you down as a visitor.
Never breaking eye contact to consult a list. I smiled disarmingly. The gatekeeper did not. I kept smiling doggedly until my opposition broke and said,
Bird ladies in Lab B,
swiveling a clipboard to face me. John Hancock. After signing, then staring into a beady camera eye that produced a visitor's badge, I proceeded down the hall, a tiny image of my unsmiling face stuck to my breast. Wall-stenciled arrows got me to Laboratory B. Through the door's small rectangular window, I spotted a petite brunette bent over a stainless steel gurney. I knuckle-tapped the glass, and the woman looked up and squinted. With recognition, she lowered her mask to reveal a mile-wide grin. Glad to see me, or amused at my wilted appearance? The woman beckoned with a gloved hand. The lab smelled of chemicals and decay, a familiar blend evoking thoughts of work, not sun and sand. Fortunately, this errand wouldn't take long. I was just stopping to pick up the keys to my hostess's house. The latest Jodi Picoult novel waited in a beach bag in my carry-on. Goodbye, winter shoes. Hello, flip-flops.
Tempe!
Lisa Robin shot forward to embrace me, a gesture that, given her size, landed her head somewhere around my midsection. I did the awkward, quick-squeeze thing non-huggers do.
Sorry, I couldn't meet you at the airport as promised. I know it's a hassle to cab all the way out here, but I just received a record number of packets.
Lisa's hand fluttered toward the examining table, which contained 7 lumps resembling compressed, dehydrated roadkill. Dr. Lisa Robin was, for the birds, not just by name, but also by mannerisms and calling. She was head of the Smithsonian Feather Identification Lab and a pioneer in forensic ornithology. She and I had met while consulting on a case in South Texas. A bus carrying an exotic bird smuggler and his booty had gone over a cliff and exploded in flames, incinerating all those on board. I'd taken the human bones, Lisa had taken the talons and beaks. Not as bizarre as it sounds, Lisa and I both analyzed the dead too compromised for normal autopsy. In her case, necropsy, since her subjects are non-human. We work the skeletal, mummified, decomposed, dismembered, mutilated, or, in the bus crash recovery, charred to a crisp. As a forensic anthropologist, I am a specialist in the human skeleton. I study the bones of the visually unrecognizable and the unidentified, searching for indicators of age, sex, race, and height. I observe peculiarities and anomalies, anything to give the remains a name and, if necessary, a manner and time of death. Frankly, I'm not sure what Lisa does with her birds. We'd bonded over the bus crash victims, passing bone fragments back and forth, human to me, avian to her. I liked her. After I'd returned home to North Carolina and Lisa to Washington, D.C., we'd maintained contact. Birds of a feather in male-dominated fields. I'm so glad you're here. She tipped her head, quick and sparrow-like. I know we'd talked about a visit, but wasn't sure you'd ever make it. My concept of vacation usually involves Bahamian blue water, ocean breezes, and a whole lot of sand. But Lisa's reinvitation had hit my inbox during a perfect storm of frustrations. An argument with my department chair at UNCC, a run-in with a testy prosecutor concerning my report on his homicide victim, dietary issues with my cat, Birdie, that meant new carpeting in the parlor, a blown timing belt on my Mazda during rush hour traffic. It was that last one that did it. After 2 hours inhaling Oda I-77, waiting for AAA, out of boredom, I hit the travel app on my iPhone. Life lesson on why you don't impulse plan vacations. Rage booking can lead to swamps and leeches instead of waves and beaches.